Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Ortega. I'm a counselor-turned-coach bringing you faith-based resources, insights, and strategies to help you live that walk-on-water adventure God called you to. Find more information at theuncommoncareer.com. Hey friends, welcome back. If you're considering a major career change, if God is calling you into a whole new industry, or if you're just not quite sure how to be a strong Christian within your work environment, then this episode is for you. We're going to be talking to Janae Blatch, and she's going to share her family's pandemic career transition story. She's going to talk about bringing her talents and skills together from education, ministry, and mental health to go into a seemingly unrelated industry, all by the hand of God. She's going to share with us through her 25 years experience in ministry, how to be a faithful Christian professional living within a secular environment. It's a jam-packed episode, so sit back, tune in, and let's get started. Hey everybody, it is great to be back with you today. I'm really excited to spotlight a faithful Christian, a faithful professional who not only is succeeding in the marketplace, but who is also succeeding in ministry and has been doing so for the past 25 years. So with no further ado, here is Miss Janae Blatch.
Hi, Patricia. Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here and to share.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about what you do as a professional, anything, you know, personally that you want to share. Just let us get to know you a little bit, and we're going to hop into the questions after that.
So personally, I am a wife of one husband. And that's all I can handle. One is enough.
That's all we need.
That's all we need, right? And I have three little children. Right now they're ages 5, 6, and 7. The boys are soon to be 7 and 8 in a few, this month and next month. So littles, and we homeschool them. So that's me personally. My husband and I are also joined in ministry. We minister together with the young adults at our church. And professionally, I am a notary public, a mobile notary loan signing agent, and I also train other notaries. The Lord has transitioned me into the area where I am able to now train others to have this business for themselves. But my background is in mental health counseling. I'm a former educator in the public school system. So teaching, I've been teaching all my life, even in Sunday. I started teaching Sunday school probably like it between the ages of 12 and 14. So it's my gift, calling, and it also it's a blessing now to being able to incorporate that in my profession.
So you've got the ministry side, the education side. From what I understand, you also have a master's in counseling?
Yes, counseling psychology.
Counseling psychology. Okay, so you know how people work, you know how people learn, and now you're getting into the marketplace with the notary business, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about how that started.
Well, I was a stay-at-home mom for 4 years, and it was due to, before that, I was a guidance counselor in the high school system, and when I got pregnant with my third daughter, since all of my children are back-to-back, there were some pregnancy complications, and I was asked to go on bed rest, and after that, my daughter was born with a rare genetic disorder that caused a lot. She had to have several surgeries. She had to have a lot of doctor's appointments. So my husband and I made the decision, you know what, where it's best for me to stay home with the kids, and all of mine were little. So we decided to stay home and continue homeschooling them all. And come 2020, my husband was in the restaurant industry. And
pre or post pandemic, like once the pandemic happened or before?
Well, he's been in the restaurant industry in hospitality since we've met, like, years. But in March 2020, when the pandemic happened, he was sent home, and as many others were. And from that, it was like, remember, I've been home with the kids for 4 years. I was like, tag me in, let me do something, you know? And it wasn't that I was just working with the kids. I mean, when I say stay at home mom, I don't even like saying stay at home mom, because it is work at home. It is lots of work.
It's remote work. It's like working from home.
Yes. It's a lot of work to be a stay at home mom. So shout out to all of the stay at home moms and homeschooling moms out there. It's very fulfilling. But it is a lot of work. I mean, there's times my husband would come home and I'm like, please, let's put them in school, please. But it is fulfilling. And we do see the rewards for having them home. You know, when you have children that love the Lord and just we have that ability to teach them in that way. So, yeah, so I was like, tag me in. I was doing other side businesses. I'd started selling like home baked goods. I did design work. I was always an entrepreneur. Like mm-hmm. Since I was a kid, I can tell you all the things I used to sell. I found a way. I found a problem and came up with a solution and made money off of it. So, so I was even doing that on the side while my husband was working. But when he came home, I was like, you know, all these ideas that I had had and I'd been sitting on for so long, I was like, let me go. And then I heard about this notary profession from a fellow colleague and brother in Christ, actually. And I was like, you know what, let me check it out. And I did. And I did a little webinar, ran into the other room where my husband was. And I was like, honey, I can do this. Let me do this. So we invested in the course. I convinced him, right? And we invested in the course and I dragged my feet a little bit on it. Just fear, right? Anytime you're doing something new, there's sometimes fear there. You doubt yourself. So I dragged my feet on it. But when I tell you, once I started, it was like, why did I hesitate? And something that was just meant to be part-time, something just to get us over until my husband started back work, turned into full-time. Full-time income.
So you've been doing that since 2020?
Yes, just since 2020.
Okay. How has your business developed in the last, 2 years now?
Well, I went from a brand new spanking new notary. Like I hadn't even had my commission. I got my commission in May 2020. And I became a loan signing agent. And it took off dramatically. Like my first month, let me see. It's October. So just to give you an idea, my first month when I told my goal for my husband with us doing this going full, the drive that actually pushed me to go full time in this business and put everything in it is when during the pandemic, my husband couldn't work and he didn't have anything open yet. But we had a vacation paid for the kids. And so it was like, you know what? Things are starting open. Florida was still pretty open throughout. So, but I was like, you know what? Let's just go ahead and they're letting us do it. Let's take this vacation. He verified with his job that they were not starting soon. And as soon as we booked the vacation, Patricia, the manager called the next day.
Come on.
And the next day. And so after we had already told the kids, we were finally, because it was pandemic, we were finally getting out of the house. We're going to go on a vacation. His boss calls the next day. The mayor just opened up, you know, the city. And now, you know, we are not bringing everybody back. And he had just recently transitioned to this new job. He wasn't even there like a year, but he was just so great at his job. They were not bringing everyone back. So people who had been there vets for a long time, but they wanted to bring him back. And it's like, we have one position left and we want you. Do you want it? And he was like, yes, we want it. Can we start next week?
Yeah,
And do you know what this man said? Like, I was like, Lord, he had to deal with me because he had it on speakerphone. And so his manager said to him, you've had almost 6 months of vacation. So do you want the job or not? So I was like, Jesus, take the wheel. So I told him, you know, I told my husband like through gritted teeth, like I was like, just take it, you know, but in my heart, I was like, no, this is not going to happen to us again. Like, you know, and part of that I realized, and I'm going to be honest, part of that later on, I realized with my husband, I was like, some of that was pride. It was driven in that pride. Like, I'm going to show them that we don't need their job. We can, you know, so I had to ask for forgiveness for that. Cause that was a lot of that drive to get started. But I told my husband, I was like, well, even if you go back, you know, we had a plan. We even had a plan with that. But I said, if I can make in this business, equal to what I was making before. Because remember, I wasn't working. I hadn't been working for 4 years because I was on leave still. I said equal to what I was making before as a master's degree guidance counselor in a position. Would you come off your job? And because we were already, the Lord had taken us from a two income household to one income household, now in the pandemic to zero income household. And then now it's trusting him in this. And so he said, okay, all right. And so that gave me my drive to do it. I went full time in October 2020, and by the end of December, I had met and exceeded that amount in 3 months. Something that I had went to school and, you know, have all these student loans and have not, you know, I was able to do that as a notary. Wow. Like that blew.
That's God.
Yes.
God could put fire on anything.
Yes.
On anything.
And so it was just such a blessing. And so I told him, I was like, let's go. I did it. Get off that job. You know what? Honestly, during the pandemic, we enjoyed our family time because I was homeschooling with the kids. But then that time we had dad with us, right? So we went on field trips. We just did so much stuff. We enjoyed that family time and we enjoyed that freedom. Now, of course, we still needed financial freedom to be able to pay our bills. We weren't trying to get rich. I can tell you that it wasn't about getting rich, but God blesses us abundantly above what we even ask or think. We just wanted to meet our bills, right? Be able to give to our church and maybe have some savings and all these different, that was really our goal. But God just far exceeded our goals, and he didn't come off the job right away. But in February, our family was hit with COVID. About 14 people in our family was hit with COVID. And one of the ways that we were connected to it is because my husband and I were both trying to work now. Ended up going back to work, right? And then I'm working. So our kids didn't have stability. And so we were dropping them off to either, you know, family. We don't let our kids stay with too many people anyway. But during that process, you know, they were exposed, and then a lot of other family members were exposed, then we were exposed. And, you know, we got through it. One of my aunts did not survive that.
I'm sorry.
But in that time frame, my husband and I realized we have to take a step back and think about what we're doing for our family, because the reason we got into this business in the first place was for our family, for our children. Right. And so we had to think about that. And it's like, somebody's got to come home. So it's like, you know, either me just, you know, stop the notary work but because this was flexible for us and we had more control over it, we could make as much as what we decide to put out, right? In effort. So we decided to do this. And after that, the pandemic, he didn't go back to work because he was out for a while being sick, not the pandemic, but after COVID hit our family.
Yeah.
He didn't go back to work after that. And so we took the plunge and the step of faith together in this business.
That's amazing. That is so cool. And it's one of those things where, you know, God creates the opening. Like he'll ask you to take a leap of faith, and there's that leap of faith. And then he creates this opening that you had no idea was there when you took the leap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's what happens when you're surrendered to God, when you're obedient to God. I just think that is absolutely amazing. So one of the things that I am curious about, and we're going to jump around a little bit here, but one of the things that I'm really curious about is you've been, you know, in ministry for 25 years, and you're working with, from what you told me, 18 to 25 year olds, which is like this, you know, this population that is right in between everything they've been taught in the public school system and everything that they've been around. And they're in this place that's between that world and the professional world. And it's also in this place between you grow up and you've been taught all these things at home, don't have a lot of decision-making power. And now you're going to be an adult where you have the power to decide everything, whether or not you go to church, what you believe, you know, who you hang out with, all that kind of stuff. And also, again, hopping into the professional world. So having said all of that, what are your thoughts when you think of these 18 to 25 year olds about to go into the career world in the marketplace, whether entrepreneurship or career, like, what are your thoughts on their ability to be a Daniel, to be someone who's really bold in the profession around colleagues that may not have the same belief system?
Yeah, it's a very important group to work with. Because just like you said, now they're the decision makers. They have choice of what they do. They don't, you know, the parents aren't making them come to church. And there was a statement that there was our youth pastor, who's also my brother-in-law, you said that, hey, there's this statement that they say after youth ministry, you know, when they graduate from uni, they graduate from God. And that had been a trend. And we see it, right? You know, people who leave after youth, they're heavily involved in youth ministry. And then after that, they just start making their own, you know, decisions and they go. So this is a very close group for me to work with. But yeah, I see it all the time. Like we talk and they're struggling in the areas of choosing their profession. They have gone through several different jobs. And I thought I was bad because I've had so many jobs. But this generation, it's like, it's totally different. It's completely different.
Absolutely.
They're looking for their place, you know, they're looking for their place, and not just professionally, but being able to be who they are in Christ in their regular lives, in their normal lives, personally, not even, you know, thinking, you know, even aside from professionally, you know, amongst their friends.
Yeah.
You know, who am I and who am I going to, who am I going to be, that decision? Who am I going to be and how am I going to walk this life out? So
absolutely.
We walk through a lot of those things and there's lots of struggles there. But it goes back to, I'm very grateful for the group that we work with. They have strong parents. You know, parents who have brought them up in the word. That's why I know it may be a hassle or sometimes a struggle when you are pouring into your children and that time that you're taking, but it is so necessary because when they get to this point, they need to have the word. They need to be strong in the word, have the word hidden on their heart so that when they're entering into these jobs and being exposed to so many different things, that they will be able to stand firm in the faith, right? Stand firm. This is who I am. No, I don't do that. You know, I'm different, you know, and I, you know, to make those decisions and not be swayed by the system or by economics or, you know, by, well, I want this job so bad. So, you know, I'm willing to compromise my faith. But it first starts with them personally before it can even trickle out into the professional realm. Them knowing who they are. And that's what we're really working on to, okay, now you've been through Sunday school, youth ministry, but really staking a claim that I am a child of God. I am a son of God. This is my profession. This is what I've signed up for. My mom, not my dad, but what I've signed up for and what I believe. So knowing the beliefs, the foundations of their beliefs, solidifying that and getting the right foundation so that as they go forth, no matter what wind of doctrine is coming, they are sturdy, they're founded, and they can make the right decisions with the help of the Holy Spirit, because now they have that relationship that is solidified, not just knowing, right? Sometimes growing up in Sunday school is just this rote memory. We memorize the songs and the scriptures, but now making that real to them and practical in their lives.
That's so good. I mean, there's so many things that you said that resonated as you were speaking. And I mean, there's just so many pieces. But what came up over and over again is this concept of before you fly the nest, before you start to make all these decisions on your own, it's important that you know whose you are and that you know your own identity in Christ. And part of that, you know, as it relates to the career world is, you know, pointing out in each other, seeing in each other and seeing in yourself the special, unique ways that God created you. You know, like in the body of Christ, we each have our own giftings and our own talents. and using that the way God created you, because God made no mistake. Mm-hmm. And so when he created you, he gave you this talent to be very detail oriented, or maybe to be very flexible, whatever the case might be. And then sort of acknowledging that those talents came from God. So when you go out into the marketplace, like you said, you're not just kind of strewn about by every leaf, like a leaf of, I forget what the scripture is. You probably know it off the top of your head. But you know what I'm saying? Like you're not just strewn about by every type of theology, right, or doctrine or whatever. You know who you are, where you came from, and that everything that flows out of you flows out of who you're created to be. So it's much easier to make those career decisions, right, when you acknowledge where they come
from. Oh, that foundation is so critical. So critical.
I love it. I love it. So, okay. So you work with these 18 to 25 year olds, and I'm sure that you see so many situations. And I think this is true for every professional that's listening right now, but especially for those 18 to 25 year olds who, you know, I'm a little bit older, just a little bit, but old enough to say, and I don't know if you're in the same boat. I won't claim that you are, but I came from an age where when we grew up, we didn't always have our phones and social media and this presence to keep up and all this, right? And so these 18 to 25 year olds grew up where that was the only way they know to see what the world expects of them. And so as you see these 18 to 25 year olds and future generations going into the workforce, and, you know, I feel like there's this thing that happens where you've got one identity on the weekends or in your personal life or in your devotional, and a totally different identity at work.
Yes.
And sometimes that identity at work is sort of like a point of pride, and it becomes your identity and usurps the other one. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I find that even beyond that age group, right? I can say I struggled with that as well. Those knowing your identity, having your identity and not being two different people. Mm-hmm. But as far as the 18 to 25 year olds, they're, I don't know if it's more of, you know what it is. I think it is still split identity, because for them, I think it's one way in church, right? Mm-hmm. Around their parents, around their family. And then the struggle to be that same person, that light, yes, outside struggle with their friends or on social media. If I look at your profile on social media, and I challenge them all the time, I said, will I see the same person that I just met this on Wednesday night? Would I see that, yep, same person? Or would I be like, what, you? Like, I always question them, and I was like, this should be the worst insult you could ever receive. If you go and share with your friends, hey, did you know I'm a Christian? What? For real? Like, that should just be the most horrible, yes, insult that you can possibly receive, right? Mm-hmm. That those around you don't know who you really are, and what you believe. And so we challenge them all the time on that level, but it's also a challenge to us, you know, to, because in my own personal journey, I will share that I've always been open to the Holy Spirit, you know, using me with my students or with colleagues I've worked with. You know, I've, mm-hmm, always prayed for like the open door. So here's the thing, yeah, like, you know, so we may not go, we're not going into our jobs and preaching. I mean, I did work for a nonprofit that was Christian, and we got a chance to, you know, pray together. I mean, that's beautiful if you have that, right? But that's not, yeah,
but it's not available.
It's not everywhere, right? So, but when you're in these jobs and it's like, you know, the moment somebody says anything or they're going through something, because even as a counselor, it's, for me, I find that I'm so easy to talk to, apparently, or people just kind of share all their business with me without even knowing that I have a counseling background. It's just part of my personality. It's like, oh, I knew it was something about you. I'm just telling you all my business, you know. But for, you know, if I had a colleague that started sharing something with me and I got the opportunity, like that open door to share,
yes,
the love of Jesus and to share, I usually took that. Now, there's times that I did not take the prompting of the Holy Spirit to go pray for them or go tell them, you know, give them this scripture. There's times where I've, you know, had to repent for not moving when the Holy Spirit has led me in the workplace. Mm-hmm. But I was always looking, even in my profession now, was always looking for that open door.
Yeah.
But sometimes what I'm learning is it's not just about finding the open door. And because then if the door is already open, it's safe, right? I look for a safe place to come in and share. But a lot of times faith is not what, well, not a lot of times faith
it requires risk.
Faith is risk. It's seeing what is not there, right? That's mm-hmm. in essence what faith is, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when I go into someone's home, I walk into people's homes, I do closings, real estate closings in people's homes all the time. So mm-hmm. I'm walking into someone's home and if I don't look around and I don't see scriptures on the wall or I don't see a cross or I don't see their Bible open on the table, you know, I have no sign, no evidence that this is a safe place to talk about Jesus, right? So my challenge has been, even in being growing up as a pastor's daughter and being in ministry all my life, my challenge has still been, okay, when the Holy Spirit led, not self-led, I want to say that because self-led can lead you into situations that, okay, God is like, I ain't tell you to do that, you know, you know,
yes.
But when the Holy Spirit prompts you and you have that unctioning inside to just say, you know what, share this or say that. Or pray. It's like, well, I haven't got my clearance yet. Like, where are the arrows? I haven't seen the signs that this is
I need okay. the safety sign. I need the safety sign to know that I'm not going to be persecuted yes. or I'm not going to be, right? Like, mm-hmm. And it's so like, gosh, everything you're saying, I'm just like, ah, like we're reading about Elijah in one of our Bible studies. And it's just this place where Elijah was and is at Mount Carmel. And he had to take this huge risk, be the only prophet amongst 450 of opposing prophets. And he called down the fire of God. It wasn't him. It was the fire of God that said, hey, you left this big space open for you to be in this in serious trouble. And this is a space that I operate in. Mm. It's just like, it's so good what you're talking about and how you're like, Keep going. It's so good.
It's, you know, God and everything that he does, he wants to be glorified.
Amen.
So when we find ourselves walking in our own strength, and when I tell you this has been my struggle always, and I think as women as well, we like to control things. And so I find myself walking in my own strengths, what I can do and what I can figure out and what I can make happen. But God doesn't operate like that. He wants to be at the end of it. He wants that other people will see that he did it and no one else but him.
And you can only see that when the risk is so great, yes. right?
When you have like 400 or so, you know, opposing yes. prophets against you. And what we see that in the workplace right now is that everything is opposing the word of God, right? And it yeah. is so blatant. The darkness, the Bible talks about this gross darkness and it's like, we're in it, like we're living in it. And it is so apparent. And so even in the industry that I'm in, it's like, you know, you have these doubts, you know, if I'm in these people's homes and I get that open door, I get the opportunity to share with them one-on-one, even if I don't have the signs, okay, I've overcome that part. But now what about being bold in my faith, stepping out in my faith amongst my colleagues, amongst my peers mm-hmm. in this industry? And that was a struggle for me because there is this fear that we have that what if I lose business because people don't want to be associated with me or, you know, once I start, you know, speaking out on, you know, what if they think I'm this or just the, you know, associate me with some the crazy religious people, because there's some that give us a bad name, right? That are doing some crazy things out there. But I had all of these fears and I struggled with that until the Lord, it became what he was working it in me. He, you know, he's so patient with us, the Father. He's not condemning us as like, why are you not talking about me? Why are you not telling people? He's not doing that. He's so patient with us. And yeah. he constantly gave me opportunity after opportunity and open doors. And I started walking through those open doors to share with people in my industry, my faith. And mm-hmm. for me, after I started doing that, those conversations, like people would call me for one-on-one consultations to help them with their notary business, and it would turn into ministry. you know, it would turn into ministry. And they're like, oh my goodness, I didn't pay you for all this time. And it's like, I was like, nah, it's okay. It's ministry. You know, it's like, I start going and it's just no stopping because now I am fully operating, not just in my natural knowledge that I've went to school for, that I've studied and that I have, but now I'm operating in who I am, who I am as a child of God, a woman of God. And I just flow so freely in that. And there was the lies of that the enemy was bombarding mm-hmm. me with about why not to do this, why not to, you know, the fear, which is all lies, right?
Oh, it is.
And so when I started opening the doors, I began to see, man, there's a lot more people in this industry that are with me. You know, even in the story you brought out with Elijah, and I'm so hoping that I got this right, because I'm like, wait a minute, I hope I'm not mixing up my prophets.
Oh, you're going exactly where I know you're going. I have it right here.
Even with him, and when he escaped, right? And he was like, Lord, I'm the only one. I'm out here alone. He was like, do you really think? You know, you might be the only one that you see. I'm speaking to you and you can't see everybody, but there are others. There were other prophets out there that were doing those things.
You're so on point with that, because in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, God says, I will spare 7,000 in Israel, every knee that has not bent to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. After all this happened, just like you're saying, Elijah was never the only one. He was just the one bold enough to stand up. And in this situation, you're the one bold enough to stand up. And when you stand up, you're finding that people are like, oh, me too. I just wasn't called to stand up. So there's so many people with you, so many people, whether you or you know, anybody listening in their profession, like if you're the one who's called to stand up, be bold and stand up, because there's other Christians that are faithful also, but just weren't called and they're waiting for you to stand up. So good. Continue on.
Oh, and that's perfect, because I always say this, someone else's deliverance is tied to your obedience. If we go back to Moses, all three examples throughout the Bible. So, you know, even with Elijah, your obedience, you standing up when God is saying, you go, you do this, you say this and say it now. Other people's deliverance is tied into that. You know, he has this plan. And so when you begin to see, you know, for me, it was, I can share, like, for one of the major moments for me breaking through is I was on my prayer walk one morning, and which I need to do a whole lot more, because
don't we all
exercise too? But I was on my prayer walk, and I love my prayer walks because I can be just so free and just worship and talk, and I'm moving. But the Lord told me to start a clubhouse. He dropped it in my spirit, called Kingdom Notaries, and because He was sharing, as I was talking to the Lord, He said, you're not just commissioned as a notary, because as for us, we're commissioned by the governors of our states. You're not just commissioned by your respective state, but you are duly commissioned by Matthew 28. And that resonated so much with me that I was like, wow, you know, because dual commission in my profession means that you have a commission in two different states, right? That's what the term means. But the Lord just put a whole nother twist on that we're dual commissioned. Even though I'm only commissioned in Florida, I'm dual commissioned because I've been commissioned by the Great Commission of Matthew 28. And so, and I started it. I'm on my walk on my phone. I went ahead and created the club. I've been on Clubhouse before, but I had never created my own clubhouse. So I created and got the name.
Yeah.
Right. And I did nothing with it. Like nothing.
You're not the only
told
one
no one. Told no one about it, and didn't share it anywhere until the Lord started just sending people my way that were other believers. And it was just, you can tell it was the hand of God, how the connections that I began making. And I'm like, oh, there's more believers. Like they're here. There are more others in this field with me. And so, and the truth be told, the Lord showed me in January 1st, when I was doing some business planning for the year, He told me, he said, seek me first was the words, seek me first, as I was planning. And I had the unction then that it was not going to be about notary. Like my purpose was not notary. Even though I may excel in this mm-hmm. profession, it was not about that. That wasn't the ultimate purpose. This was going to
avenue.
Lead yeah. me into more. Exactly. The avenue, my pathway. And I began to see what the Lord meant by that as he starts sending people to me. And I began to minister to them and being able to encourage others in the faith and in business, right? And being in the same industry. And one day after like the Lord has kind of, he like kind of let me get my warm up, mm-hmm. right? And one morning I was so tired that night and I had an early morning closing and I was kind of hoping it was going to get pushed back or delayed. And it did. And it eventually, I think it got canceled. But that morning I was like, great. I got up, did my devotion. And I was like, I'm getting back in bed. I'm exhausted. I got back in the bed. The moment I laid my head on the pillow, Holy Spirit said, now get up and share what you just learned on the Kingdom Notaries.
There you go.
on the Clubhouse. Like I have no prep, no marketing for it. Nobody. I didn't tell anybody I was going to do it. So I got up immediately before I lost my nerve. I got up immediately and moved quickly before I can allow myself to convince my flesh to convince me of why I shouldn't do it. And I went ahead and scheduled it. I put a schedule so that I scheduled it and sent out a message. I don't know who I sent the message to, but I sent out a message to some people. Hey, I'm doing this. And it was like a 15-minute increment. Like I gave me 15 minutes to actually get started. I ran in my PJs to my office, got my phone, got my Bible, and got ready, nervous and all. And that was such a blessing to, I mean, people started signing on and listening in. If you know how Clubhouse works, I guess people were sharing it and people saw that I was on talking and I don't know how they got in there, but the Lord sent them, I believe. And then as I started seeing some of these names come in the group, people that are well-known in my industry, I was like, there's no turning back now. Like in the middle, of me going forth and ministering, I'm seeing these names pop up and I'm like, there's no hiding.
You think you're ministering
anymore
to them, but I think they were sent to you.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
That's how the Father works, right? It's always both ways. Exactly. He's dealing with us even as he's using us to help others. And so, yeah. And after that, I'm not consistent with the group yet, but I've been doing it as the Lord leads me. So again, the Lord led me to go on again. So I've only really had two rooms that I've scheduled. But I'm looking to be more consistent with that because I just felt it's just so freeing to be who I am, talking amongst my peers and allowing us to be kingdom focused in our business and praying in that. Because, you know, if I felt alone, how many others are feeling like that? You know, when I was going to these conferences and I went to a conference in Vegas for notaries, and I just looked at that room of thousands of people and I'm like, how awesome would it be? Like, I know my brothers and sisters are in here somewhere. Like they're in here. I just don't know who they are. And, so that's been my goal now with Kingdom Notaries is to create this community of this body. Right? Because we're the body of Christ, within my industry all over so that all 50 states, so that no matter where there's a notary event or a business event, the kingdom is represented in our industry somewhere that we can connect and come together in prayer, maybe right before the conference, before we're getting this tangible secular knowledge, right? For our business, you know, praying for the Holy Spirit to lead us, to direct us, to give us divine wisdom and just coming together in fellowship. And that's really been my vision for Kingdom Notaries. And God brought that through my obedience,
Yeah, we think we have a plan, but he's got a whole different plan. And it's so good. Gosh, I know there's going to be other topics we're going to talk about because this has been a great conversation. And I'm like, we could go on for another hour. So keep in mind, I probably will reaching out to you. We'll have another conversation on a similar topic. But before we do that, I do want to make sure and get in a few really important pieces. So I want to know one piece of advice you have for professionals on finding and following their faith and their calling within their profession. And then we'll finish off with a shout out to your business and where we can find you.
The one piece of advice I would say is have your ears open because God is always speaking. You know, God, I've always learned that God speaks with a still small voice. He's not going to, you know, overpower your will. He's not going to be yelling at you and telling you, hey, no, wrong, go this way. But he will speak, but it's up to us to get in position to hear. So whether that's in your that's in your personal time, your time of fellowship, you're in your local body of Christ, your local assembly at your church or your community of believers, your body of believers, I should say. But the being in position to hear him speak to you, allowing yourself, don't just say your regular morning prayers or just like to say that you did it and check it off your list, but to really say, okay, Father, I'm submitted to you today. I'm here to listen. I want to hear, you know, that's where my prayer walks are. I found my place where, you know, I can talk to God and then listen. I can sit and listen and he speaks to me and he gives me the ideas. He gives me the wisdom and the direction. So just place yourself in a position to hear because he's speaking and he will give you the guidance. He's already given you your purpose. You know, our purpose is to glorify him in all that we do. And so the specifics of that, he can reveal to you as we are in position for him. So just getting in a position to hear from God and he will direct your path. As the word says, you know, trust him in everything, in all things. And he will, that is a guarantee. That is a promise. He will direct your path, but it is conditional. You have to do your part. Trust in the Lord, right? You got to do your part.
So good.
In position.
And it's true. It's not a two-way street. I mean, it's not a one-way street, right? We pray and we ask God, oh God, I want this position or I want that or I want that. But it's like, okay, if we listen, that's the best part of the relationship is listening and doing as God says. Okay. I love this. So let's finish off with a shout out to your business and let us know how you help people and how folks can find you.
Yes. I have, I'm the Academy Director and owner of the Florida Academy of Notaries alongside my husband. And I can be found at www.flacademyofnotaries.com. And what I do is I do state-specific training for Florida notaries, though we do have some members that are out of state that still come in fellowship and learn from us. But we provide content, the actual content for your business, the training, but also content. We have coaching. So we do group coaching and the community part. So coming together with other notaries that are along this journey and we help, we share, and we learn, grow together. So that's what we provide. I also provide one-on-one coaching for those who desire that personalized coaching or training. And aside from my other business of as being a mobile notary, I'm a very active mobile notary loan closer myself. So if anyone is in the Tri-County area here in South Florida, Broward County, Miami-Dade, and West Palm Beach, I can do your closings. I specialize in real estate closings and all your notary needs I can provide as the owner of JD Notary Solutions. That's how I can be found professionally.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Do you want to maybe share your Instagram handle for those who are on Instagram?
Yes. My Instagram handle is Janae_Blatch, B-L-A-T as in Tom, C-H.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us. It has been a great conversation. I'm sure I will have you back and we'll just continue on sharing how professionals can work out their faith in the Monday through Friday.
Thank you, Patricia, for having me.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you soon. Hey, friend, thanks for listening. You're now done with the first step towards becoming a part of the Uncommon Career Community. And that was to listen to this podcast. So, woohoo! Congratulations! Your next step is to head over to theuncommoncareer.com and request the Bible-based Mindset Fix. This is a simple resource to literally transform your mindset with scripture so that you can bust through all those mental messages. I'm talking about those lifelong lies that make so many Christians like you and I completely ineffective in our calling. I used this when insecurity and negative mindsets were really getting me down and stopping me from taking that leap of faith that I knew God was calling me to. This works so well for me every single time, and I know it's going to work for you too. So again, before you forget, head over to theuncommoncareer.com or simply click on the link in the description, grab your Bible-based mindset fix, and I'll see you there.